Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pay Risk Podcast. I'm Sarah Bowe, a private equity associate based in our London office and your host for today's episode. This episode focuses on environmental and sustainability risks, and to discuss this, we're joined by Lily Marcel, a partner in our London funds practice, and Charlotte Chopping, a senior associate in our London financial regulation practice. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
One of the emerging risks over the past 10 years has been alignment between those developments in sustainability standards and legislation and approaches to fund sustainability by portfolio companies and sponsors. With the recent increase in greenwashing litigation, we have seen investors turn their focus to sustainability-related standards and disclosures and how to develop effective strategies to address related risk. So, Charlotte, would you mind starting off the conversation by explaining the legislative backdrop in this area?
Of course. So one of the areas of law that has undergone rapid change and development recently is sustainability legislation. And for the managers of private equity funds, and indeed the managers of funds in general, what we have seen in particular is the development of sustainability disclosure regulation. And this regulation requires managers to make disclosures to investors around the sustainability features of their funds. So is the fund only going to invest in assets that meet certain sustainability standards? Is the fund only going to invest in assets with the aim of improving their performance against certain sustainability metrics? Now, an example of such legislation is the EU's SFDR, the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation. This requires managers to categorise their funds as either Article 9, Article 8, or Article 6. Article 9 products must only invest in sustainable investments, with limited exceptions to permit, for example, hedging. An Article 8 product must only invest in companies that follow good governance practices. So essentially, there are restrictions around the type of assets that can be held. And another example in the UK is the newer SDR regime, the Sustainability Disclosure Requirements regime. And this creates sustainability product labels. But in order to use a label, 70% of the fund's assets must meet the criteria for that label. And so a key risk for managers coming out of all this legislation is, what if you make these disclosures, apply these labels, say that these assets are going to meet certain sustainability criteria, and then a company does not actually meet those criteria? And you have a mismatch between the disclosures and the actual assets of the fund.
Right. And are there any points that managers need to consider on top of the legislative requirements?
So, yes, absolutely. And we've seen this for years. Investors will negotiate all sorts of additional ESG requirements when they come into funds. So they will ask for ESG information that helps them to meet their own commitments. And they might also ask for lists of prohibited investments. And the way that that can work is they can ask for excuse rights, which means that they don't participate in a particular investment that they deem to be bad from an ESG perspective. They also might ask for a broader prohibition on the fund investing in those sorts of investments at all. They don't want to be sort of tainted by being in a fund that invests in, say, fossil fuels or whatever is on their sort of list of bad ESG investments. So that's a trend that we've seen for a while. But I would say that the disclosure regimes that Charlotte's just explained have led to an increase in these sorts of additional contractual requests we're seeing from investors.
And what kind of risk does this development pose for managers?
Well, if a manager breaches a specific disclosure requirement imposed by regulation, there is, of course, a risk of regulatory breach with all the penalties that are attached to regulatory breach, from censure to regulatory fines. But of course, stepping aside from a breach of a technical regulatory requirement, there is also greenwashing risk. So has the fund been held to sustainability standards that its assets are not actually meeting? And greenwashing risks are wide-ranging, from potential action by regulators to potential claims by investors.
I'd say you've also got, going back to the contractual piece, the risk that investors try to essentially gold plate the regulatory risk with some additional contractual penalties. But we do see some investors focusing on what else, what other protections can they negotiate in.
What would you say that managers need to do to mitigate these risks?
Yep, so managers need to ensure that portfolio companies are at the point of investment and remain consistent with the sustainability disclosures that have been made and the investment parameters that have been agreed to with investors. So that will involve pre-investment due diligence, but also ongoing monitoring of investments that have been made. So managers, for example, need to ensure they've got sufficient information, right, so that they can assess how those portfolio companies are tracking against what they have said they will do in their disclosures.
And managers also need to create a plan of action for when something goes wrong from a sustainability perspective at a portfolio company. So the sorts of questions that managers need to think about are, do you have rights to enforce remediation? Can you actually dispose of the asset? If you retain the asset, are you going to need to revise the sustainability disclosures? If you retain the asset, are you actually going to need to downgrade the fund or remove its label? And what is the process around that? So are regulatory notifications needed? Are investor notifications needed?
It certainly sounds like there is a lot to consider as part of sustainability risk mitigation for managers, sponsors and portfolio companies alike. A huge thank you to you, Lily and Charlotte, for your invaluable insights today, particularly on this area which, as we know, is receiving increasing regulatory scrutiny. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to engage on this topic further, please do get in touch with us or visit the Clifford Chance website for more information.